Today we are going to be looking at Christian moderation. Christian moderation. Are we ready? Okay, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Are we there? Are we there? Okay, from verse 9. First Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I thought you have a Bible in your phone. Why are you looking at my face now? Praise God. Okay, so 1 Peter 2, follow that conversation. Peter was saying, you are a holy nation, a peculiar people. In time past, you are not the people, but now you are the people of God. So he ended it by saying, I beseech you, that you should see yourself as strangers and pilgrims of the world. Don't know how many of us were here during the video when Pastor taught love not the world. If you're not here, please try and get that message. And even if you were here, listen to it over and over again. Love not the world. It almost encapsulates everything I'm about to say here today. So Peter was saying, you should see yourself first of all as a stranger in this world, as a pilgrim, meaning you're just passing through. Your conversation, therefore, must be different from everybody, as in conversation, your way of life, must be different from every other person around you, must be different from the persons that are in the world, in quotes. So that is what we are focusing on today, Christian moderation. How do we moderate ourselves? How do we find the balance? How do we strike a balance between the fact that we are believers, but we are also in the world? How do we show forth? What is expected of us as believers, even living among the world? First of all, before I continue, we must know that in the things of the spirit, we don't require moderation. When we are talking about moderation or balance, it's not referring to the things of the spirit. So nobody should tell you that you pray too much, find a balance. Or you study the word too much, you should find a balance. Or you speak in tongues too much, you should find a balance. No. For the things of the spirit, there's nothing like excess. Praise God. I know then when we were in school, it used to be something that is demeaning. When they tell you that you are a Spiro or Spiricoco or you are this word, and then people don't feel like, I don't want to know. There is nothing like too much of being spiritual. That is who you are. So when we are saying balance, don't let your mind not go to prayer. Rather, we're actually not even doing as much as we should. So the balance we're talking about is in other things, not spiritual. Don't forget, we don't have a balance for spiritual things because there's nothing like excesses. All right. Now, because we are human beings and we're in the world, there are a lot of things that are legitimately trying to pull our attention. Like Pastor said during that Love Not the World, create time to eat. You don't have to create time to sleep. Do you understand? It's just a normal part of your life. It just moves on. It just comes naturally. You don't have to create time to gist with friends. You don't have to create time to do WhatsApp. You just see it as a normal part of your life. Whereas it is actually spiritual things that you now see yourself consciously trying to create time for. Because if you don't specifically create time for it, it does not naturally flow into your day. Now, how do we create the balance in the sense that even though these things are naturally what we want to do, you want to wake up in the morning and, of course, start your day, go to work, brush your teeth, take your bath, and just the normal flow of your day. But how do you ensure that in doing all those things, you are not sucked into the system of the world and then it regulates your whole conduct and makes you almost take your eyes and your focus off the fact that those things are not your priority? Okay, Philippians 2. Start now. Philippians 2, 14, verse 16. Philippians 2, 14 to 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So now Paul is giving an admonition that in the midst of a crooked world, you should shine as light, meaning that there is a difference in how you are going to carry yourself, a difference in the way you are going to conduct yourself. It is not every single thing that happens normally in the world or that happens in a way, a normal way of life, that you just find yourself still doing as per it is normal. It is normal. It is not. Because a lot of things are trying to pull us away from our consecration, change our focus and our attention. And we must ensure that we keep that focus and we shine a light. So how do we do it? We'll just look at two or three scenarios in which it is obvious or it is essential that we are manifestly seen to be different. And one of them is our jobs. First of all, by now, I'm sure you have heard that pastor say this countless times. It is not every job that is meant for believers. It is not every job that you can do. Forget about the fact that there is a priority to make money and to meet needs or daily needs. But you must realize that you cannot do every job. For example, a job that requires you to be at work 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and probably just give you 1 week vacation. As a believer, that is not a job you should go, no matter how much you are being paid. Even if it means sacrificing to get a lower paid job, so long as it gives you time for your own sanity. Because by the time you get sucked up into a world of, in fact, normally going to work from just morning, normal work hours, already affects, imagine giving a job 8 hours of your concentration a day, and then you come back and you are tired. You just even have just probably 2 days in a week to go to church and just try and within a week to refresh yourself. Imagine not having that opportunity to even fellowship at all with the brethren. And all that revolves around you is just work, work, and work is never, there's no how you will, for the persons that work, you know, no matter how much you work, it is never enough. Even if you stay 24 hours in your office, it will still not be enough. So it's not working at the expense of your priorities as a believer is not what you should focus on. The fact that it is a normal thing, of course, for the world system. And you're like, you're being paid this, you're giving adequate compensation. But that does not mean you should mortgage your faith for it. All jobs that requires you to play compromise to your faith one way or the other. I have a doctor, a senior friend then, when he just picked up a job as a doctor, his very first job as a doctor, and he was required to perform abortions. And then he said he is not going to perform abortions on any lady. Rather, he was trying to cancel them, don't abort this baby, keep it. And then he was fired. And he packed his load with so much joy and pride that, yes, he was fired from a job for his faith. But a lot of persons might say, that does not matter. After all, that's my job, or that is what I studied. It's different from my faith. Do you understand? We have learned to draw one thick line. When I'm at work, I'm at work. So it is just me and my job. It is a job. We see that it's a job. The way we come out, we can now focus on faith. But it shouldn't be. We know that our life as Christians, it does not just revolve around church. It transcends and controls every of our lifestyle. Praise God. So with that in mind, it will not be a big deal for you to say, I cannot do this. Why? Because of my faith. Or jobs that require you to compromise and falsify figures. I'm sure we should never be talking about all those. I am very confident that we don't have such here. But that's the focus we must have. The fact that for a believer, you must have moderation, even in working secular jobs. If you realize that this job is because nobody can judge it for yourself. You are the one, because I can from outside be looking at this person and say, this person is just, all I see is work, work, work. But of course, you might be doing a lot of extra things to back up the fact that this thing is not taking your time. Do you understand? We might not, but you be sincere to yourself. Once you deceive your own self, you know that's the end. You should be able to honestly realize that, is this job actually rearranging and restructuring my priorities? Is it making me lose focus of who I am? Have I entered into a maze and the rat race of just wanting to make ends meet, and so I'm accepting anything and anything as long as it brings money into my pocket? Nobody can make that judgment for you. You do. You have to. So that's one of the aspects of Christian moderation. Your life as a Christian must moderate every single area of your life, including the jobs you allow yourself to do. So if because of money, you get trapped in a circumstance or whatever it is that makes you mortgage, compromise, and restructure your values and beliefs and priorities, just know that the system of this world has sucked you into it. Praise God. All right, so let's look at our language as well. Or before we go to language, look at the entertainment, because that's another major thing that is hard to draw a dividing line. Because it's almost normal to come back from a long day and then you just want to chill and just want to relax and unwind, in quotes. And then you just go through different channels and in the name of, I've been saved and been sanctified, so all things are lawful to me. Remember Paul said, all things are lawful, but not everything is necessary, not everything is expedient. He said, even though all things, I can do anything, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. So even in choosing entertainment, be sure that you are not under the power of anything. Be sure that there is not, it does not become something that has such a hold on you that you cannot break free. For example, you cannot support a football club so much that there is a time they are playing that match, there's a time for the match, probably like I think FA Cup final was this week. Yesterday, and then the time for it was clashing with time for evangelism, and they're like, man, you for life. I must watch the only time we can win a trophy. And then you now decide that we'll always have evangelism next week. Abi, there's always evangelism, but there's only one FA Cup final in a year. And then you restructure your priorities that way. In that way, what has gotten a hold of you? Do you understand? So there is no more moderation in that. In choosing entertainment, in choosing passions, that is just pastor's own issue. Because if, for example, if you are in his own house and you're watching football and you scream, like all those... With that kind of passion, you can literally turn up the TV and tell you to go and sleep. Because as far as it's concerned, nothing should make you that excited apart from your salvation. So if it is not in Christ's reality, why are you jumping? What have they done? Why are you so... Don't be so invested. You can enjoy something as a pastime without letting it be so much of a focus to you that, this is a do or die affair. If we don't win this match today... I've seen persons that cried because their team's lost. You just cried and the rest. So interesting. And of course, there are lots of shows. We must realize that a lot of series are decided to hook you up. For example, personally, of course, I don't advise people. I have decided not to watch series because I know the kind of hold it had over me. When I was in university and Prison Break came out, Prison Break 1, I can never forget that day in my life. My mother left me in the house and said, Joy, I'm going to work. She went to work from 7 a.m. She said I should cook dinner, do everything. I said, yes, ma. She came back and met me in that same position where she left me by 7 a.m., 7 p.m., 12 whole hours. I did not move. I did not have my bath. I did not cook food. I did not even eat. I was watching Prison Break 1 from beginning to the end. I just wanted to watch if Schofield was going to escape. And when she came back and she dropped her bag and literally screamed, that was when I realized that, okay, this thing has really taken a hold of me. So be sincere to yourself. You cannot sit down and follow series and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, you will not even sleep. Your eyes are just like this. We must watch this thing. How is it going to end? And then when it's not time to pray, or time to, you know that, you just be sincere. You know you can watch one thing for 5 hours and you have not been able to take out that same, not even that same time, half of that time to even consecrate. Once it's prayer, once it's 30 minutes, you're already itching. Realize that your priority has, in fact, you are no more exercising moderation. Praise God. You know, we can overemphasize these things. It looks like we are always talking about this thing, but it's never too much. There are some shows that are designed to actually hook you up. Like we said it earlier, the things of this world are designed to take away your consecration. And if you don't fight for it, you just see yourself going. It's just this one now. You are waiting anxiously. They are going to show this thing by 6 o'clock. And then before 6, you are sitting, if you are driving like mad from wherever you are coming to, just to sit in the house, waiting for that 6 o'clock to reach. Or shows like, I don't want to call specific names, but there are some shows that you know that if you are going to preserve your sanity, you should not watch. Do you understand? Don't tempt your resistance, don't tempt your self-control and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And then you just put on and watch anything. See, the fact that you see somebody saying, I watch Big Brother Africa 24 hours of the day and it doesn't affect me, I still pray as normal, does not mean you should go and take that risk. Do you understand? Don't see yourself as, I am strong in the Lord, the Lord is my strength, and then open your mind and your heart to a lot of things. Be careful. Be careful. It's very subtle, but you never can tell when, normally, on a normal day, you will not, for example, you will just see a sister and nothing enters your head on a normal day. But so very subtly, you're like, oh, you start from admiration. Oh, this sister is pretty. Oh, her hair is lovely. Oh, yeah, wow, she has a nice body. Oh, I see. And then your thoughts just start progressing. Very, very subtle. That is why you watch how it enters in the first place. Because once it enters, you most likely cannot control what the effect it already has on your consciousness. Praise God. So in your entertainment, in choosing, do their lawful passions. Yes, it's good to be out. That's how we relax. It's good to be. What's wrong in watching football? What's watching wrong in watching this? What's wrong in doing this? Is it spoiling my faith? Does it make? Remember that as a Christian, you must exercise moderation in everything. Okay. Whatever takes out a chunk of your time. That is not spiritual. Remember that is not adding to you. Then two more things we'll talk about before we just go. Language, your speech, what you say, how you communicate, how you talk. There should be a distinct difference that this person is not an unbeliever. The fact that things people just use F words up and down does not give you the right or the light. Let's just Ephesians 4. Are we there? Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So that is something we must pay attention to. Be careful, choose your words carefully. Choose your language. You don't just start saying different cuss words or swear words, and then you are just like, especially even in doctrinal debates and arguments on Facebook. It's not for you to say, okay, because you are arguing doctrine, somebody gives you the right to call the person retarded, or it gives you the right to tell the person that the person is a big cum poop, or so many of insulting words we use. It doesn't give you that leverage. Even in discussing, okay, Titus 2, even in discussing doctrine, even in arguments, your speech must also be sound as befitting a minister of God. Scripture is your guide. Don't get carried away that this person is also a pastor and he says this. We know in this church that, of course, you don't esteem any man above what is written. Okay, Titus 2, 6 to 8. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, that is in doctrine, it's talking about doctrine now, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Praise God. So even when in discussing doctrine, your words must be sound. Your speech must be sound. Remember, sometimes the debate goes off and then people start insulting one another. The person that you are arguing with leaves what you are arguing with and starts accusing your own character and start indicting you and say, and you call yourself a believer, you are talking such things. No, your speech should also be sound so that the person that is of the contrary part will not have anything to lay hold against you. Praise God. All right, so that's for language. Then even in our dressing, of course, we should realize that there must be moderation. There's nothing like we are believers, we are all things goes. No, moderation. I'm sure even we know that the watchword is decency. There's nothing like no trouser, no this, no rules, but be decent, be moderate. Don't just get carried away in the fact that, okay, we can do all things, we can dress all things. No, there must be a clear distinction and you must exercise moderation in the things that pertains to you. All right, so the summary of everything we are saying is that you must shun excesses. There must be no excessive display, excessive attachment to the things that are not spiritual. 1 Peter 3, we'll just conclude. 1 Peter 3. Before we read that one, let's just read 1 Peter 2, verse 15 to 16. The things are 1 Peter 2, 15 to 16. Okay, for so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of what? Foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Praise God. Did you see that? So that don't use your liberty to say, I can do all things, as just use it as a because that's the weapon or defense many persons bring. You should not do this as a believer. You say, the Lord has made me free. Who are you to condemn me? Let no man judge another man's servant. It is before his master he stands up for us. No. Do not use your liberty to engage in excesses. Praise God. Okay, so 1 Peter 4 now. 1 Peter 4 verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. I hope we follow this. So Peter is saying that before now you were free to run amok, but now you must be different and you must not give yourself to these excesses. Even though the Gentiles are taking it strange, for them when you make some stand known, I can't do this. I can't. It's for them it's strange that you are not running into the same excesses. And then Peter said they are speaking evil of you. And see the semicolon, you who will give account of to God. You know the unbeliever does not give account to God of how he spends his life, right? You know that there's no standing platform for the unbeliever to stand before God. His own platform is, you are not saved, so hell. It is we that we give account of how we spent our life, how we do ministry. So even if they are speaking against you and say you are not doing the same thing they are doing, realize that you are the one that will stand before God and give an account of how you spent your own life, not them. So ensure that you don't let their own standards judge you. Praise God. So that's the summary. Christian moderation, no excesses. Ensure that you stay within the boundaries of your faith, within the boundaries of your belief, that nothing contradicts your belief system. Remember we talked about Christian resolution. Have some things fixed in your mind that nothing can change. This is your boundary. This is your parameters. Can we just begin to pray? Just pray and renew your consciousness again in this light. Your boundary and your parameters is the faith that you have in Christ Jesus. Your faith is your boundary. Your belief is your boundary. Nothing must take you out. Nothing must take you out. If you don't define that value, you'll be caught up in other people's actions. Ensure you define your priorities. Let your belief define your passion. Let your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ define your pleasures. Let it define how you allot times to things that, even though are legitimate, let your faith be your deciding guide. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.